Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things that often seems to come up when we remember All Saints Day is that too often we think about the saints as super Christians instead of all who have ever been part of the whole body of Christ. We think of them in a special light, perhaps with a little halo around their head. And too often we think of the people in the Bible in that same special light. We think of them as people who have a closer relationship with God than we do. They're people of stronger faith, people who are better disciples. But actually, the Bible shows people like us in circumstances that I believe we can identify with. Even though it was written, maybe between 2,000 and 3,000 years ago, the Bible shows us that really humanity has not changed all that much. We've got the same emotions, the same issues that people in the Old Testament, people in the New Testament had, for good and for ill. And this passage that I read from Deuteronomy addresses a situation that we are all too familiar with. There is poverty and need in the community. Some neighbors are needy, and some of them are needy most of the time. And the Bible lifts up the widow, the orphan, the alien. And when we say alien, we're not talking about ET. We're talking probably about people who are immigrants, those who don't have any kind of family connections to support them. So this passage points out there is economic need, but also, some among the people of God either don't know how to deal with this kind of need, don't know how to respond to it, or they don't think it's their problem. They are hard-hearted and tight-fisted, says the passage. So when some of the people of the Bible went home at night, they opened their money bag or their box of money by the flickering lights of the lamps, and they carefully counted how much was there. How many dollars, how many pieces of gold did they have? And then they probably reviewed the other assets that they had. They counted up the number of sheep and goats that they had. Oh, good, we've got more sheep and goats than we did this time last year. The vineyard seems to be growing well. Oh yeah, the olive trees are producing really well this year. And perhaps they said, this is mine. I've earned it. No one else has a right to it. And I'm sure that they preferred to think of themselves as financially savvy and making wise financial decisions and saving money for their children and grandchildren. But in this passage from Deuteronomy, God calls them hard-hearted and tight-fisted. God reminds them that they are part of a community and that the needs of other people must be factored in. Their assets are gifts from God to be shared. And some people, even in the Bible, just haven't figured that out yet. So Jesus tells a parable along similar lines, and I know that this parable is as troubling to us as it was to Jesus' original hearers. He tells a story about this generous landowner and boss who pays the laborers who worked only 1 hour the same amount that he paid the workers who worked all day. And that is just not fair, according to our standards. This generous boss says to the disgruntled workers, "Are you envious because I am generous?" Well, yes, they are. They have watched others benefit from God's generosity, and suddenly what they have received doesn't seem like enough. What they have isn't enough if it's only equal to what the others have. Hard-hearted, tight-fisted. I think that's a good description for Ebenezer Scrooge, the man who overworks his employer and his employee, underpays him, Bob Cratchit. He says, "Bah humbug," in the face of Christmas. There are not very many of us who choose to be like Ebenezer Scrooge. It's probably anxiety that does it for most of us, anxiety that we're not going to have enough for ourselves, concern for our loved ones, concern for others in our circle. And it is good to take responsibility for our families. But the needy ones of our society, well, too often they are outside any system of support. They're the ones that we don't know very well. And we may use abstract terms when we're talking about them, like saying, oh, the poor. The poor don't have any faces. They don't evoke any feelings. Widows and orphans and immigrants, that doesn't necessarily evoke any sense of responsibility from us. Shouldn't somebody else be taking care of them? And if there's a law that's made to benefit them, that tries to counterbalance some disadvantage facing them, we may grumble that they are being given special rights. And if they're getting something, shouldn't we be getting something more? All too often, we turn out to be hard-hearted and tight-fisted. As Deuteronomy says, we entertain mean thoughts and view our needy neighbors with hostility. Or we don't give to them because we worry about enabling them. We wonder if our giving might foster dependency in others. And so our desire to do right, our anxiety about not knowing what is the right thing to do, that also can prompt us to be tight-fisted and critical, frankly, of those in need. But the landowner in Jesus' parable, he doesn't have these worries. He agrees to what is a fair wage with the first workers he hires. And then throughout the day, this landowner goes out and searches out more workers. He keeps going back to the marketplace where the unemployed laborers hang out. And when he sees them, he hires them and puts them to work immediately. And even at the end of the day, when there's not an awful lot of work that he's going to be able to get out of anybody, he hires those who are there and sends them to work in his vineyard. One way you could interpret this parable is in what we might call a spiritual way. We say that those who came to faith early at the beginning of their life and do God's work all their lives, they can expect God's blessings, maybe even heaven, and maybe they expect a little bit more than those who come late to faith. Perhaps by this kind of reading of the parable, we would talk about the Jews, God's first chosen people, receiving a bit more of God's blessings. But God doesn't stop there. God sent the apostles out to the Gentiles and told them the good news that they're part of God's kingdom too, that they're going to receive God's blessings as well. Maybe even those who come very, very late to faith, maybe after a lifetime of hostility to God or persecution of God's people like the Apostle Paul, even they receive the same blessing from God. And that kind of rubs us the wrong way, I think, sometimes. I do think this spiritual interpretation is a valid way of looking at the parable, but I think it really also applies to the concrete financial situations that it describes. God is generous to those who don't have any financial assets, as well as to those who have a lot of the world's goods. And I think those of us gathered here today fall into both of those camps and all the spectrum in between. God is generous. And that doesn't mean that the worthy ones are going to receive more than the others. The worthy ones are not going to get to go to some special heaven. It means that those who, by the world's standards, are seen as deserving less, they are given the same as those who are first and think they deserve more. Perhaps you see yourself in this story. I certainly see myself in this story. I want to be recognized for the hard work I do, but I also want to be in some way elevated above others. I start work early in the morning and I put a lot of sweat and muscle into that vineyard. Surely my effort is more meaningful than someone else's. But it is not just about me and what I receive. It's about what we all have received and are empowered to give, because God blesses our generous giving. And God gives us the ability to give as God does, liberally, ungrudgingly. What we give to others does not impoverish us. When we watch as God gives to others, it doesn't take away from us what we have. It blesses us in all of our undertakings, and we become co-givers with God, open-handed, open-hearted, towards the poor and towards the needy neighbors in our lands. God is full of grace, lifting up those who are last to come to the work of the kingdom. And these are people who are often poorly equipped for life in this world. The widows who have lost the support of their breadwinner and their family. The orphans who don't have a family to train them and empower them for abundant living. The alien immigrants who don't speak the language, don't know the customs to get ahead. These people may be sometimes less effective in the world, less fruitful in terms of our economy, but God reaches out to them. They have not earned a full day's wages. They haven't done enough good works, but they have a good Lord who blesses them. God primarily wants us to develop empathy, to develop open hearts to those in any kind of need, to wonder what it is like to walk in the shoes of those who have less than we do. What must it be like to be living on a Social Security check alone? And I know that some of you don't need to wonder, you know that. But some of us need to exercise our imagination and develop empathy and open hearts for all who are struggling financially. One way of exercising our empathy is in our giving, our personal charitable giving, our giving through our mission budget of our church. However, God wants all of us, not just our money. The money may be the easy part for some of us with assets. In addition, God wants our hands and our hearts. And God hopes that our hands will be open for giving and serving. God hopes that our hearts will be filled with compassion and empathy. God hopes that we will not have hard hearts and tight fists, because God is recruiting us for God's kingdom, where his work is done through our hands. But we're not going to be able to get the work of the kingdom done all by ourselves, no matter how much we may persevere. Our Christian hope and the hope of the saints of faith whom we remember today is not that we're going to bring in the kingdom all by ourselves. Our hope, our trust, is that God will complete the work that he has begun through us, through an individual, through a congregation. Because once we have known God's grace, we shall never lose it. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.